it's coming right for us. Right for us.
Dan Hampton.
Guys, I can't take
OB.
It.
It's all about that game.
Ed Obradovich.
Yeah, okay.
Guys.
Hey, what's the question?
Glenn Kozlowski.
Okay, let's move on.
Touchdown, Bears.
An OB show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on the station with the best Bears coverage, 720 WGN.
I'm going to tell you a little story. It was Sunday, November the 15th.
Hold it.
2015, what?
Go ahead. How far you're going to go with this.
I just want to tell you a little story. It was Sunday, November 15th, 2015.
Still in your thunder, Ed.
The Chicago Bears.
Still in his thunder,
I'm setting you up, OB.
I'll set you up all right.
All right, fine.
Set you up through the window. Yes.
Took everything away from you, Ed, right there.
That's the only thing I got to say.
That's what you had.
37-13, the Bears beat the Rams. They scored over 30 points to win a football game, OB. They're going to do it today. 33-7, Bears over the Bengals. There's a minute left, but we're on the air because the Bears have won a football game. OB, you remember that day. You remember that win over the Rams.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, hold it, folks. This is about the only thing I'm going to tell you this afternoon because this is – anyways, November 15th of 2015 – till now, which is the 36th straight game. This is the first time the Bears have scored over 28 points in a game. Since November 15th against the Rams until right now against the highly regarded and very forceful Cincinnati Bengals, we went in there and we tore them apart.
Unbelievable. Hey, first and foremost, let's just say where has this been all year? Okay, and quite honestly, it's obvious to me that the offensive coordinator, Dow Loggins, did not want to become homeless by Christmas and be down on Lower Wacker because he finally shows up with a certified NFL-style game plan that featured the talents of the young quarterback, Mitchell Trubisky. But, hey, you know, hey, we're world beaters against the AFC North. We're now 3-0, beat Pittsburgh, beat Baltimore, now beat Cincinnati. But please do not mistake this as an all, you know, encompassing salvation effort versus a quality football team. This team, the Bengals, they were looking for a place to lay down at kickoff. The Steelers gutted them on Monday night, and they never recovered. And the Bengals are coached by a mess of a staff that should be finally fired after this debacle. But more importantly, you know, don't think of this as a contrition win. That, oh, now John Fox, Dow Loggins, we've got it all figured out, and now we need another 3 years to show you what we can do. This is still a faulty, flawed football team from top to bottom, even though we did some good stuff today, and I'm not going to discount the fact that, hey, you know, a game plan, it was great. And we did things that we should have done long ago. But we cannot be deterred from what is most important. That, yes, we did have some good plays and some good players on the field today. But John Fox has got to go, guys. He's still got to go. I don't care if we would have scored 100 points. John Fox has got to go because this is the effort. This is the type of football we should have played in September, not December.
They're 4-9. And that's all you have to say. And this is their fourth victory, which is one more than they won last year.
Yes.
We salute them. By the way, Dan said it best. Best game that they've probably played in the last 3 years under John Fox. Literally the best game, game plan, everything. And a little bit had to do with Cincinnati also. Cincinnati looked like a team that did not want to be out there. But having said that, it's not the Bears' fault. They showed up today. They did some things offensively. They rolled out Trubisky. They actually got wide receivers into the flow on crossing routes.
They actually slided the pocket one time. Right. I almost fell out of the chair.
So this was the best game of the year. Give the Bears credit, but again, they're 4-9, and they've got Detroit next week, and that's a team right now that's still on the cusp of getting into the playoffs. So you'll see a better effort next week.
This is Hamp and OB with Kaz. We're presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. If you want to join the show, feel free. 312 981-7200. Also on CLTV until 4, with you until 5:30 today because we got Blackhawks hockey coming up from the United Center.
What thunder are you going to steal from OB now?
After you started
the show off by
I got more here.
It comes in first time in 2 years we've scored 30 points. You look it up and you try to look like,
Let me tell you a story.
Hold on a second. I clearly brought that up last week
Uncle
and informed
Carmen,
the masses.
Uncle Mark telling a story to the world.
Well, let me tell you another story. Mitchell Trubisky, 25 of 32, guys.
It was good. There was a lot of good stuff. And think about this, the rookies. Cohen, even Jordan, second-year player. Shaheen was a force today, catching the ball. But Mitchell Trubisky showed in his home state why Ryan Pace gave up the world to get him. Now, again, this is against the bottom of the barrel Bengals and their dog blank effort today. But still, he looked like the player that Ryan Pace is now going to be beating his chest saying, this is the guy I traded up for.
And, you know, we've been looking for them to find a wide receiver all year. Kendall Wright, 10 catches today, 107 yards. He actually looked like a wide receiver. He was making plays all over the place.
Let's not get crazy here, okay? It took him till 3 minutes to go in the third quarter for him to finally throw the ball, a long ball down the field, all right? There are so many things that happen. You watch Trubisky all day throw the football. Did you check his accuracy? Where were they thrown? 70-some percent of the time was thrown to the backside shoulder. Okay? That's something that's got to get better. And they finally, they just started rolling out and bootlegging now. And again, and I'll go till the cows come home. Again, this kid's been here a long time this year. He's been here since the spring. And for them not to do anything with this kid and to wait to this game against the Cincinnati Bengals, what is it, the 13th game, 14th game? 13th game to open it up a little bit and finally let the kid do what he can do?
It was John Fox's Christmas gift to you, OB. Finally, he waited this long. Now he pulls it out of the stocking.
You know what,
and
Dan?
Says, OB, here's the game plan you've been crying for.
You got a kid. Obviously, somebody saw something. I'm probably the only guy's pace, and fine. But you bring him in here, and again, I don't give a damn what anybody thinks or anybody says. To bring this kid in and dummy him down is to me, that borders criminal. That's crazy what they did with this kid. And finally now, they're going to show you, oh, the kid can bootleg, he can throw, he can do this. Well, it's a little too late, Fox. And the rest of your – huh?
And I was going to say, Cincinnati was not inspired on
defense. Oh, God.
So he was throwing behind receivers that were wide open.
Yeah,
there was – you know, those balls thrown behind him all day, normally a guy's actually motivated and knocks those down.
Exactly.
Today, Cincinnati wasn't motivated.
In contested situations, you know,
those
80% of those would be slapped away or even picked.
33-7. Bears beat the Bengals. Jordan Howard, 23 carries, 147 yards. You guys haven't given him any love. A lot of running between the tackles.
We're going to give them all love.
But the thing is, now?
You're kidding me.
4-9's 4-9. You can dress up a hog, but put a lipstick on it, but it's still a hog.
And it still gets dirty.
and the fox needs to get out of the barn.
You're like, Hamp, you're legit worried that he's going to save his job?
I hate it, again, this is the worst scenario for us. Now, we're going to be beating the table going, wait a minute, look what happened the last 2 weeks. Don't look at today. And you know what? Unfortunately, you know and I know, the McKeskies do not like change. You know, I've gone to seminars where they say embrace change. Everyone's scared of change. You don't like to, you know, go to a hotel because it's different. You don't like to have to work at a Hey, the McKeskies don't want to make change. They are looking for reasons to keep this entire regime intact. This is not a good reason. This was a mirage, again, against a bottom-of-the-barrel, crummy football team coached by a coach that should have been fired 4 years ago, but he's hanging on just like Fox is.
312-981-7200 if you want to join the program. Yes, OB?
Well, I'll just tell you, regarding Pace and the ownership of the team, you know, the team is not going to be sold to the people out there. It's just the McKeskies. It's not going to happen, okay? Virginia McKeskies still there. Still holding a position of strength and power, and whatever moves she's make there, the kids are going to watch and listen and react to. But I can tell you this. These fans, now, if when you looked at the game today, folks, did you see in Cincinnati, did you see that stadium? That stadium, lucky if it was half full. Lucky if it was half full. And this is what's happening. Football is not the best brand they've been playing in quite a number of years, okay? I don't know what's going on or what's happening, but I'm going to tell you, when you get with these guys taking a knee, these fights, these guys choreographing like they're on some theater in Chicago theater or something, creating a dance, if they score a touchdown and hoop and flow and fly around, this has got to stop, guys. I don't mind them, you know, smash the ball down, something like that. But this dancing around like a bunch of damn clowns, that's enough already. I don't think people, our listeners, or anybody else wants to see or hear that crap. Hey, the game is called football.
You're exactly right, OB. And you know what? This is how disconnected the league office is under Roger Goodell. They think allowing the touchdown celebrations and all this nonsense, as you call it, oh, that's something the fans really want to see.
That's BS.
Oh, I agree. It's nauseating and it's sickening because the product on the field has went down in quality, and yet they think they can put the window dressing of the so-called celebration out there as a reason fans are going to, you know, embrace the game again. It's back-asswards. But beyond that, McKeskey's have to do what they have to do. You know what it is, folks. Give us a call and let us know if you are as adamant as we are about the fact that whether we won 100-0, it doesn't change the fate of Fox.
Make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's best at 10 p.m. Then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Bears beat the Bengals 33-7. They're 4-9. They got the Lions coming up next with you till 5:30. We're going to take a quick time out, OB. We'll get to the calls coming on back here.
Yeah, we'll get to the call. Just one quick here. Fox throwing a red flag again.
Oh, that was a good one.
Everybody in the room, in the boardroom, saw it. I guarantee you, every fan watching television, everybody was in that stadium, knew it was a first down. That knucklehead, somebody upstairs told him to throw the flag. Because he didn't, he made it, or he didn't make it. I mean, this is unbelievable. He throws a flag, blows a timeout.
It's my favorite thing in the NFL right now, the John Fox challenge.
Well,
there's nothing better. It's so
actually,
good.
It's a disgrace.
It's embarrassing.
Squirm TV.
It's unbelievable.
You squirm when he does it.
But
you know it's
you
disaster.
You know it was his day because he got the second one
he
right.
He did what
which was crazy.
The guy clearly made the first down.
Wasn't even close.
Clearly.
Wasn't even close.
Okay? And that idiot, somebody up there, one of the 17, 18 coaches or how many geniuses we got, called down and told him, hey, no, he didn't make it. Throw it out there, John.
Who knows if they even have anybody up there. At this point, I'm thinking there isn't someone. They're just saving the money. I don't even know. Because there can't be somebody up there. Nobody up there can be that dumb.
You spend $40 million for quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you can't
they can't afford that.
I don't
think there's anyone up there. I really don't.
There can't be.
quick timeout, 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hamp and OB. With Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. I'm going to tell you another story in a minute. So I'm trying to. I just listen to these guys during the break. That's
Let's
what I do.
Let's talk about your car getting carjacked.
What the? What in the world?
How does that happen? Because it wouldn't happen to me,
listen,
Ed, or Dad, or
personally,
any of us. It never happened to us.
It's unfortunate that you would throw me under the bus right there and bring up on a Thanksgiving night when a guy pulls into a gas station. And leaves his car running.
Who are you speaking to? I didn't say anything.
I'm speaking to Dan Hampton and Glenn Kozlowski. Fine, OB.
Well, fire on them.
Okay.
Leave me out of it.
We'll go left to Hampo, right to Koz.
Yeah.
You're right in the middle. That's fine. That, you know, you wouldn't support somebody going to get a hot tea, Hamp, and have a little, you know, use the restroom.
Turn your car off. Take your key with you. You ever hear that?
That would have been a good idea. That absolutely would have been a good idea.
Hey, Mark. Mark,
idea.
Listen,
Mark, stop,
Mark, while you're ahead.
I got three lighters, an Arizona iced tea out of it that they left me, and a great smell in my car that we won't discuss right now. It was an outstanding experience. I learned a lot. By the way, it's a 23-day repair. I'll get it back next season, as in next year. All right, the Mueller game-changing moment. My guy, Love you, Mike Mueller. Sponsored by the Mueller family of dealerships in Hoffman Estates, Gurnee, Highland Park, and Merrillville. Hamp, you got a
changing moment. Finally, the Bears do something on the first series of plays they were given all year. Hey, actually, the game-changing moment was when the Steelers kicked the winning field goal on Monday night, because that took all the starch out of the Bengals. They didn't want to show up. But more importantly, we get a great return. We start after penalty at the 49-yard line of the Bears. And five plays later, we score our first touchdown of the year on the opening drive, and it was all clear sailing from that point on.
I actually thought, like, on that drive, the completion to Josh Bellamy, who hasn't caught a ball in the first quarter, and I don't know what.
Sir, that was big.
And he just put his head down, looked like he was playing, and no one on Cincinnati was offering any resistance. I'm like, okay, well.
Well, he didn't jump. He caught the ball, turned up and ran upfield, and nobody chased him. Knew that was a good day for us.
The one positive thing that I took at this game, this team, we knew they were going to be down a little bit, okay? I'm talking about Cincinnati. And I was worried about us being underneath them. But they showed up, and things started working for them. And guess what? They took advantage of a team that totally quit. Now, usually, folks, when you see something like this, a game – the defensive line, offensive line will quit. Receivers, they're dropping balls, they're quitting. That entire team quit out there, okay? But here's the good thing. We took advantage of it.
Yeah,
we went after Toome. We ran it down their throats. We threw over the middle, and that's an important thing for us to do. Most of the balls, pitch it over the middle. We did some outs. And then finally, into the third quarter, we went deep. But we did what we were supposed to do to a lousy team that was down, and that's a good point.
33-7, they didn't let them hang around. They crushed them. Let's get Calvin in here because I think he wants to talk about what you guys are saying right now. Calvin, you're our guy. Welcome to 720 WGN and CLTV till 4. Go ahead.
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good, Calvin.
I was just sitting up thinking as you were talking about that touchdown thing, Dan. Guess what? I saw a particular one where four or five guys are sitting in the end zone. One guy standing on the side, he act like he rolling a bowling ball, and they all fall down. That made about as much sense as an eagle need a 747 or a fish need a raincoat. You don't need that kind of mess on TV. You need to do something else. And as far as the game went, Kendall Gill did good today. But where was he the last few games when he was dropping stuff right in front of him? He was leaping all over the place, flying around like Superman with a cape. Yeah, I like that. But guess what? The one that was right in front of him, right in his hand, he dropped. I like it was a hot cup of coffee. I said, man, look, come on. John Fox has got to go. Pace has got to go. In fact, the only one that all the rest of them need to go with him, including Phillips and the rest of them guys up there. These guys act like they know what they're doing up there, but they are slightly confused. Guess what? And the Alzheimer's disease community is waiting on these guys. Thanks for taking my call. Oh, by the way, guys, I meant to tell you this for a long time. Thank you for the book. I loved it. Dan, I like the way you autographed it, too. And another thing, Dan before, my man, he said one thing that was important. When he was hunting for stuff, he was hunting to eat. These other people were hunting for sport. And look like these people here, they don't know what the hell they're doing. Guys, once again, thanks, and have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right.
Thank you, Calvin.
Awesome. God bless you, and Merry Christmas to you, Calvin. Hey, let me also just say this. You know, for whatever reason, you know, and you can say what you want, the Cincinnati defense is not undermanned in a lot of ways. I mean, they're missing, you know, Shazier. They're really their go-to guy at linebacker. Not Shazier, the other kid, Burfitt. But all that being said, they have a little bit of pedigree. But our offensive line had their best game of the year. And, you know, you can say what you want about Kyle Long. Compton did a good job today.
He did.
But all that being said, we still are a bad football team. We had 8 penalties. We had 12 in the huddle. We had all kinds of ridiculous things going on. And you can't be counterproductive against good teams. Cincinnati today was a bad team.
33-7, Bears beat the Bengals. Nationwide's on your side. Locally, that's our Jeff Vukovic.
Vuk.
Jeff, he personalizes your insurance needs. He's been doing that for decades. Simply click to jeffvuk.com. Vuk is on your side.
Can he help you?
Vuk has been helping me for a long time.
Okay, good.
Yeah. 312-981-7200. We will have a Bear celebration till 5:30 here. A tempered one, but you know, just we'll do.
Don't forget, we had our new kicker. You know, clunking off the right upright.
That was great.
First, I mean, really, this thing is. I mean, it's a house of fire, and unfortunately, the Bengals got out of the way and let us win a game.
I kept on hearing in warm-ups he was crushing it from 50. That he goes out there with the first extra point.
Doink!
Doink. Way to go, Nugent.
Here's the good thing about everything today. You know, always you tell the stats, that can pretty much tell you what the game is. 29 first downs, 482 yards. That should be Ripley's Believe It or Not.
They did it, man.
Where's this been? Where was this offensive game?
The last 2 weeks, they couldn't even match that combined with the last two efforts.
We'll
That's
take some
amazing part.
We'll take some calls coming back here. 312-981-7200.
Hang in there, guys.
You hang in there. 720 WGN CLTV till 4.
At the 8-yard line, it's Howard again inside the 5, reaching for the end zone. Touchdown is the signal.
After reviewing the play, the ruling field stands as called.
A touchdown for Jordan Howard, his second touchdown of the game, and the Bears have widened the lead.
33-7, Bears beat the Bengals. It's Stu Who Brought It Today. Hampton will be with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com. Who Brought It Today, sponsored by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. You know what to bring, gentlemen. Who impressed you in the Who Brought It category? Hample, you got anybody?
Well, guys, I'm open. Of course, you got to say Trubisky, who he was very, very good today. Jordan Howard, for the second year in a row, goes over 1,000 yards, and congratulations to him. I mean, he had two really clunker weekends in a row and bounced back, you know, running through the Bengals today. But, you know, Wright was the guy making a lot of plays in the middle of the field for the first time in a long time. Trubisky was able to, you know, really cash in with the wide receiver, and we haven't seen that all year. Who you got?
OB, anyone stick out for you?
I think was the best player out there.
Who brought it, baby?
I'll tell you what, I'm going to have to give it to Trubisky.
Mm-hmm.
I really am, because I tell you what, the kid, he made some things happen. He had a lot of bad throws that were caught against a real bad football team. But guess what? We put up 30-some-odd points against a real bad football team, and that's what you should do. Run on them, pass on them, bury them. And that's what happened.
I'll go with Kendall Wright. I think 10 catches, 107 yards. We have not had a receiver have a big performance all year. So, to me, you know, first time you get a guy catching 10 going over 107, he's the guy should get Who Brought It.
Well, I think Trey McBride was the only guy that even got close to 100, and that was against the Saints. I think he had 70-something. So, for the first time all year, a wide receiver with over 100 yards, that's important as far as, you know, the progress of the offense and the progressions of Trubisky. But again, it's against the Bengals. I didn't want to play, so let's don't overvalue all this stuff.
Tariq Cohen had a hell of a day, too. He was in the end zone like 17 times. Every single one of them got called back, but he had 12 rushes for 80 yards. It's nearly 7 yards a carry. And
Wright converted on 3 third downs that one of them looked like a throwaway that he came back and made a great play.
That's what bad teams do. They have a lot of penalties and make a lot of stupid things. Even though we won, that's what bad teams do. It's just a fact.
Yeah, and again, who's the coach that is the head enabler? By the way, we all year long, coming into this game, I think we only had 22 trips inside the red zone. Now, folks, red zone means inside the opponent's 20-yard line. Now, you got to get to score a touchdown. Most of the, you got to get in there and punch it and grind it and throw it in the end zone, do all these different things. But 22 trips and 12 games, that's not even two a game. That's 1.8 a game. Come on. Come on. You know, good offenses would be in the red zone 5 times a half. And we were in there less than 2 times a game. Finally, the offense kind of started working.
312-981-7200. Let's get John in Fox Lake, who wants to talk about John Fox here on 720 WGNCLTV till 4. Go ahead there, John. You're on.
Hey, before I get to my John Fox still needs to get fired comments, I just want to say something about the league and the basically what they're doing in terms of showing young boys and young men on how to play this game. If I was a parent at Grant High School watching Grant demolish Wakanda High School, and I saw the young men do that type of taunting and celebration that they're doing, I would go down from the stands and grab my son and say, I don't ever want you to do that again. It's one thing to win and to be happy and to celebrate. But what the league is showing the young boys and young men in this country, that it's okay to act like a goof on national television, and it's going to translate into high school, college, and Pop Warner football, and it should stop.
Amen.
Be men. Win with honor.
Johnny.
Gamesmanship. Please, my God.
John,
I don't know if I'm wrong. Yes, sir.
You're not wrong.
Spot
you're 100% correct, and I'm sure that the majority of the people in this country agree with you 100%. This stupidity that goes on out there, and I mentioned earlier in the show about these guys choreographing these dance routines, and then they're throwing up like a jump ball. They're doing all this stuff. That's disgusting. It's embarrassing. And I hope to hell somebody, if they got to come to some kind of conclusion here at the end of this season, to stop that goofiness, that sheer ignorant stupidity, because that's all it is. It doesn't belong in the game of football. Period.
Okay, and this is what is nuts. If you were to make a tackle and you stand up and kind of, you know, cower over the guy, you are called for a personal foul for taunting. And yet, when they allow, you know, when you get a touchdown, then the entire team can taunt the other one. See, it's asinine, and it's complete disconnect, and this is another reason why Roger Goodell, I mean, for him to get a new contract and enable all this, this is ridiculous.
It's a joke, and it's embarrassment. And look, you're going to see it already filtering down to the high school. It's happening as we speak.
But,
it's embarrassing.
But
it's
the
stupid,
only thing,
and it how do you coach that?
Glenn,
how do you stop it if you're watching the pros do this?
What John is talking about, what's going this buffoon, stupid,
right?
Stupid, crazy stuff about all this dancing and waving and flowing and rolling on the ground like a bunch of morons. John, you're right. It's disgraceful. And I hope to hell these owners, when they have their meeting, when this season's over with, they put a stop to this. This is a joke. This isn't a clown league. It's called football.
Yeah, it's a total clown show. But to get to the John Fox, this is a false flag. That Bengals team gave up on their coach. It's clearly obvious. It was like a practice game. I don't know what it was. But I would say that John Fox and the coaching staff should still be indicted, because you have seen the talent on this team and what it could do from week to week. It's a matter of putting a coaching plan in place to make wins every week, and we've got it here. There's a reason why John Elway fired John Fox, and it's clearly obvious from week to week to week.
We got you, John. Appreciate it.
Yeah, just real quickly here, Johnny, and to the listeners out there, you give up what Pace did to get Trubisky, that means he was ready to go. You don't jump up in that draft and give up an entire draft to see that kid. He's not ready to go. He's ready to go. And have him here all that time, and when you start him the fifth game, he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. You're not taking advantage of what he does best, and now we got to wait till we play the Bengals for this kid to finally show something. This should have been done a long time ago. Shame on Pace. Shame on Fox. Shame on the rest of the damn coaching staff.
Well, we'll see what they do next week when they play up at Detroit. The Lions barely have something to play for, but it'll look a whole lot different than he did
today.
Well,
what are they, 7-6 now?
Right.
They're still in the hunt, just like Green Bay. I mean, it's still a wide-open league.
Hey, before we go to the next call, please, everyone, tune in at the 5 o'clock hour. I've got a very important story to tell you.
All right. Let's get to Pat, who's been waiting patiently, wants to talk about Andy Dalton and Mitchell Trubisky. Go ahead, Pat.
Hey, guys, love the show. And, OB, you need to stop holding back and tell us how you really feel, my friend.
All right,
anyway,
kiddo.
Hamp, I love to watch you play, and I agree 100% about Fox. I thought that perhaps today the coaches actually heard the pleas of a longtime suffering fan here to let the boy play. I know the McCaskies are cheap. I know the McCaskies are cheap, and I couldn't do any worse of a job than Fox could. I'll take the damn job for half his pay, or Hamp, I'll take Goodell's for a third of the pay, because I can't be any more stupid than he is. Guys, keep it up. Have a wonderful holiday, and keep telling it like it is for us long-suffering fans out here. And like I said, Hamp, I loved watching you play. Loved watching you play. Okay? Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Pat. We could do a poll here if you'd like. Fox or Pat? Who wants Pat next year? Pat for the rest of the year?
Yeah.
Anybody? Any arguments? Pat over Fox? OB,
listen,
you good?
Come on.
She could make the review calls better right now, today, than John Fox has
from Fox
all
Lake
year.
Or wherever she, yeah.
They got to fill that position. I still don't believe there's anybody out there. We got to take a quick timeout. Come on back. Get your calls in here. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN. 720 WGN CLTV till 4. Bears beat the Bengals 33-7. Hamp and OB with Kaz with you here. 312-981-7200. We'll get back to the phone lines here. People want to talk about the celebrations. All right, Angelo, you're up. Go ahead, my man.
Yeah, hi, you guys. I love you. I love the show. Dan, you're right. It's real asinine what they do. They make a tackle, they jump up and down. Of course, sometimes they're down by 3 touchdowns. But Eddie, number 87, the tight end. I thought he played a pretty good game. That's a good number to have, isn't it?
Yeah, it is a great number, Angelo. Just happens to be, if you people don't know, probably me, you don't care, but I do. That was my number.
What a sick up to OB.
Yeah, that was my 87. But I want to tell you what, I like to, you know, tap myself on the top of the head again. I picked him in the draft.
Is that right?
Adam Shaheen from Ashland
College. Oh, you did. That's true.
In Ohio.
That's true.
I picked him. I said he would be drafted. I didn't know him by who, but he will be drafted. He's 6'7", 270 pounds. I said, this guy's ready. And lo and behold, who picked him in the second round? We did, but I did call it.
I mean, when I think 87, I got to go Emory Moorhead. I got to be honest.
What?
Oh, my God.
You really are, Mark. What is your deal today?
You think your car's in bad shape.
I'm kidding, OB. You're the only 87 that ever wore the uniform. No Shaheen, no Moorhead, no anybody else. You're my guy. You know this.
All right, kid.
312-981-7200. Yes, thanks, Angela. Appreciate your phone call. Let's get James in the South Loop on the old program here. Go ahead, James.
How's it going, guys?
All right, James.
Watching today's game, noticed the line really sloppy and the DBs looked really out of sync. Didn't seem to know their routes, coverage, and it looked really sloppy.
All right, James, you gotta.
Is he talking about the Bengals or the Bears? Because I felt like the Bears looked. I think he was trying to say though maybe the penalties and things.
James, let me just say this, and this came up sometime in the third quarter. So one of us made the comment: all year long, our receivers cannot get open and present themselves. Where a quarterback feels somewhat, you know, competent or confident about throwing the ball at him. Today they were running wide open, and whether or not it was just the refusal of Cincinnati to engage and cover or whatever, but I tell you what, all the receivers, he had multiple open receivers pretty much all the time, and at some point, you know, your point, OB, he threw the ball, made a lot of completions, but a lot of those had to be adjusted. They had to go back and get the ball from behind themselves, and again, we're nitpicking. But against good teams, against the Packers, some of those are going to be picked off because they are on us like a blanket. But I don't know. I don't know if that's the way we saw it.
Well, what happens a lot of times with the defensive backs, what they'll do, the good ones, they're right there to cover and they know the timing, and they'll jump the route. And that's when you get the picks, guys. And with him constantly throwing that ball on the backside of his number or his back shoulder, okay, that a lot of things can happen. But again, today, let's call it what it was. They won the game, and they scored over 30 points, and that's the first time since November 15th of 2015, which is 36 games. They finally went over 30 points, so kudos to the Bears.
Okay, and one last thing. You know, again, before we start putting them in the playoffs, you know, for winning a game against the Bengals, remember, this is the same Bengal team that had 13 penalties for 173 yards against them Monday night against the Steelers. You talk about a team that is undisciplined and doesn't know what the hell they're doing. Come on. After the game, the whole damn both teams, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, needed counseling.
It was such a mess. Penalties for 130 yards?
173 yards. It was an all-time team record. And again, that's when they were really trying to win. Today, they never wanted to do anything.
Anytime, folks, anytime you see penalties up in that 7, 8, 9, et cetera, that amount of penalty it only reflects on one thing. Glenn, what would that be?
Coaching.
That's exactly
coaching.
Correct.
That
coaching.
Is correct.
Yes.
Simple.
Bengals have had that issue for seasons now, years. And Marvin Lewis has been there for 15 years. Maybe not next season. All right. Quick timeout in the 4 o'clock hour. Adam Hoge from Cincinnati will be with us. We may hear from Mitchell Trubisky as well, of course. OB, we will take the callers as well.
Hang in there, callers.
You got it, my friend. 312-981-7200. Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by Chevy Drive, Chicago.com on 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz, sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Start of the 4 o'clock hour, sponsored by Parent Petroleum, Hamp and OB with Kaz, with you till 5:30. Right here on 720 WGN. Bears all over the Bengals, 33-7. Now 4-9 on the year. Let's do the defensive star of the game, guys, which is brought to you by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Kaz, anybody stand out for you?
Yes, Mr. Jackson, playing free safety, had an interception today, also had a forced fumble, which really, Dan, blew the game open for the Bears. That was a turning point when he stripped it from A.J. Green.
Yep. And it was special play. You know, I got to tell you, you know, he's kind of been invisible for 2-3 weeks, but today he came to play.
And that was the one time in a while that Fox actually won a challenge.
Yep.
Yes, he finally,
first one.
Finally got it right.
We're trying to figure out who is talking to John Fox in his headset. And we got a great text down at 312-981-7200. If you want to text the show, you can also call us on the same number. But there's a theory out there that he's talking to the duck from Aflac. So I think it's as good as any that he thinks that the duck is actually saying Aflac and he thinks he's saying challenge. They said on the broadcast today that the whole sidelines was screaming challenge, challenge on the play where they clearly did not have the first down, but. So maybe Fox was listening to his guys. I don't know. 312-981-7200. That's the phone number here. Let's bring in, is it Rain? Rain.
Hi.
Hello, Rain. Go ahead. Welcome to WGN.
You know, it was a really exciting game, but darn it, it's week 14. Why couldn't we do this in week 3? But anyway, what I really wanted to talk about was this celebration. And guys, I'm with you. When I first saw it happening early on in the season, I was like, cut it out. But these are young guys out here. They're a certain age, and they want to celebrate, whether they're winning or losing, and I think it's stupid. And I was just waiting for it, and I saw it today. One of the sponsors use the celebration in their ad. So it's a money maker.
All right, Rain.
Yep, and it was, you know, it's Pepsi, and they've got a whole series of commercials built around the end zone celebration. But again, remember what happened in Philadelphia, that Trubisky threw an interception. Well, they did one on the sideline, and the officials should have thrown a flag for delay of game. Of course, now the officials are intimidated. They don't do it, so it's anarchy.
It was the defense is what Dan is talking about. That's what made it so irritating, because if you hit a guy and you crush him and you stand over him, you get a penalty. In fact, you get fined for taunting and everything else. But apparently your whole defense after an interception can now do a dance and taunt your opponent.
Well, I go back to your era, Hamp, and your era, Kaz. I mean, the Redskins had the fun bunch.
And everybody started pummeling them when they would try to do it in the end zone.
Right. Okay. Because, I mean, that was
defensive backs didn't like it, and they'd go smack them.
Yeah, 312-981-7200 as the Bears beat the Bengals here. All right, let us look at what Dowell Loggins came up with today, and I'm curious if you guys think that he was allowed to do something different, or did he learn and all of a sudden he's a smarter Dowell Loggins, or is there anything positive to be gained from the play calling today?
It was a better – look, he did a much better job. He booed it, but I do think part of it was they were able to run the ball early. And when they could run the ball early, everything falls into place. And so it doesn't look like a grab bag where he's not sure what to do next. And, you know, the last 2 weeks, Ed and Dan, when they were awful on offense, they couldn't run the football.
Amen. And more importantly, if you look at it in context of – how the offense, you know, and the old saying is, hey, you know, we're playing checkers and you got to play triple chess in the NFL. And it's built on, okay, you throw the ball to score and then you run to win. Meaning, hey, you know, well, to the Bears, they want to do things backwards. Well, they once the running game's going and then the defense is on their heels, now we can go with the play action, the boots, the counters, all those different, permutations of the offense that worked great today. We had 4 touchdowns today. Now, in the previous 125 minutes of NFL play, coming into today, 125 minutes, we scored a grand total of 1 touchdown. 1 out of 120. Do the 60 minutes, you know. I mean, that's over 2 games. There's 1 touchdown. And today we got 4 because we had a competent, prototypical NFL game plan, which was built on taking advantage of what you can do well and what defenses don't want you to do. And it worked perfectly, almost 500 yards of total offense.
Well, the good thing about it is, in which, you know, and I'm just repeating myself from a little bit ago, is the fact that when what they did today, putting up 482 yards, Danny, what you're talking about here, passing, running, being prolific in both senses, even though it was a terrible team, but guess what? That's what you have to do to terrible teams. If we'd have went out there and stumbled and bumbled and fumbled and did all it today, then that would you're talking about a total, complete catastrophe and collapse. But I'd just like to talk about, Mark, would you ask them and, you know, about all the celebrating back and when Dan played, when they won the Super Bowl. I can tell you, when I played in the 60s and early 70s, okay, a receiver or a running back would be scared to death to do that. You know why?
I have an idea, yes.
Somebody's going to get him.
Right.
And they knew that. So there was no way in the world a guy would run around there and jump and flip and act like an absolute clown goon. That wasn't going to happen. Because what you do is shoving it right in our face. Yo, is that what you're going to do? Guess what, pal? Guess what's coming?
Yeah, I mean, I guess my point is that it's been around the league for a long time. I mean, it's not in your era, OB, but if you go back to Hamp's era, I mean...
Well, then they basically stopped it because they realized, you know, how the ramifications, you know, and how it creates the ill will and all that stuff. And, hey, the league, we've had fist fights and all kinds of crazy nonsense this year. And who's to say all this doesn't, you know, start to feed into that, but... You know, it's at some point, sanity has to prevail. And as you said, OB, this is professional football. This isn't flag football. This isn't high school. This isn't, you know, a little junior college
guys. This isn't Saturday Night Live.
Yeah. This is NFL, and you're professionals. You should act like professionals.
If I could, I'd like to tell a little story here, Glenn, Dan, and Mark. This I can't remember when, but the game was in Detroit. As a matter of fact, we had a couple of goofy things really happen up in Detroit. One, had a player drop dead right in front of me on the field, Chuck Hughes. But the story I'm going to tell you is one about Charlie Sanders, who's a Hall of Fame tight end. Charlie Sanders was about 6'5", 6'6", and weighed roughly around 235, 245, and he could run like a deer. He was a big guy. Well, Doug Buffon comes back to the huddle, I mean, like dragging his leg. And he comes in and said, Dick, come on, we'll take a timeout. He said, no, I could. No. So we take a timeout. He said, what the hell happened? He said, Sanders got me. He said, he got me from the backside. Okay. All right.
Meaning he clipped Doug, you know, and got away with it.
In that area, Dan, okay? Well, lo and behold, folks, I can't remember what quarter it was, either the third or the fourth quarters, Charlie Sanders, the tight end, the big tight end, is running a deep post pattern, and Dick Butkus, our middle linebacker, you know, he's dropping back. It's a pass. So Dick's back about 18 yards. Charlie Sanders makes his break. He comes across. Dick crushed him. Folks, I cannot tell you, if you ever saw this, it'd be like a car going 100 miles an hour and got met by a cannonball head on and he went flying backwards. Charlie Sanders went out like a light. He was just laying there. And passes. So when I went rushing and I turn around and I just caught just instantly as Dick hit him and crushed him. And I don't think Charlie Sanders came back on that field. Anyways, they had to revive the guy. They had to revive him. So, kind of like, and it was very clean, nothing dirty at all. Dick just caught him. He's running over like a big old turkey trotting along thinking he's going to catch this great pass. And Dick leveled him. And that's something I'll never forget. And that's, so my point being is this. You do something out there back in the day when I played. Guess what, pal? You better watch it because it's coming.
Well, and let's talk about nowadays and with the Bengals and the Steelers and the Juju Smith-Schuster hit where he lined up Vontaze Burfict, who's had a number of incredibly dirty
shots. Play. Yeah, he's had a lot of cheap shots. He plays hard, but he has a way of teeing people up too.
Right. And people were talking about whether it was a dirty hit or not. I didn't think it was dirty at all. He caught him clean. He got a little bit of helmet, but not intentional.
What he got penalized for, Mark, was he stood over him after and taunted him. That's what Dan's talking about. You know, I mean, that's a penalty in the NFL, but you could run around and act ridiculous after you score a touchdown. That doesn't make any sense. The hit itself was not dirty.
I get it.
And that was a 10-toe. Those are the old 10-toes where you go, wow.
I'm not saying.
Was Butkus flagged on the play?
Huh? No. No, it was
just
a perfect.
Wondering.
So I'm going to tell you, I remember hearing that thump that he hit him. And I'm going to tell you, if they could ever show that clip, it was unbelievable. I thought Dick killed him myself. I mean, he just, boom, laying on the ground. He wasn't moving.
I mean, I would watch NFL films growing up of your era, OB, and I would have to go underneath the covers. I thought you guys were going to, like, jump through the screen and just kill us all. That was an era.
Well, y'all were
some men.
All the football pundits call it the most violent decade in football, and it probably was. And, people, well, how was it? The only way I can explain it to you, there was one rule. The one rule was there are no rules. I mean, these backs coming out of the backfield, they never made it. Never made it. Or tried to slip through and catch the little six-yard hook or go out in the flat. They came by me, you hang them. They came in the middle of our tackle, Fred Williams, whoever. They'd ground them, drop them right there. And all those rules changed, but that's the way it was.
That was an era.
It was the survival. I don't even know if it's the survival
how
of the
are
fittest.
You, how are
it
you
is
here
the survival
today,
of the fittest, because it was played in a tough way,
folks,
for tough people.
Get films of the 60s.
I'm not laughing. I mean, it just was a different time. You know, I'm not laughing.
Very different.
It's the truth.
There was nobody jumping and flipping and flying around and doing all that stuff. But, boy, because you had to watch yourself. They'd get you. They'd get you.
Play ball, celebrate the Cubs with team memorabilia, exclusive books, and so much more. Visit ChicagoTribuneStore.com today. Bears crush the Bengals 33-7. They're 4-9. The Lions are up next. Take your calls. And Adam Hoge will be with us from Cincinnati about 10 minutes from now. 720 WGN.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Can I tell you guys another story? It was November 2016. The Bears were playing the New York Giants, and they got the football to start the game, and they went down and actually scored. And they did it again today. First drive of the game, bang, right down the field. Bears 6.
When was the last time they did it?
November of 2016 against the Giants. It was not yesterday, Kaz.
No, but I'm saying, think of how long that was.
Right. No doubt. No doubt about it. So they hadn't done it all year, and you got to go back to November of last year. But they finally got it done.
And that's part of the reason why the genius, John Fox, defers all the time.
Did it again today.
And you ask him why. The defense is playing better than the offense. And, well, why would you signal to your team, we understand you stink, and we're not going to, you know, ask you to do your job. We're going to put the defense out there first. Instead of, in the game of football, momentum. And how to create momentum is a huge component. And yet, we defer, and most of the time, they stick it to us.
Well, it's also that he just doesn't simply get it. It's not about wins and losses right now. It's about developing your quarterback and getting yourself better. So take the football, and if they don't score, they don't score. I get it, you're trying to win to salvage some sense of something where I guess you might look more attractive at 7-9 to other teams, but like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, but here's the only thing he does do well. They win that opening toss.
Oh, they do.
They're like 15 out of 15 weeks in a row now.
Dude,
so that's about the only thing they do well.
And, you know, here's the one thing. I've got a big question. This week they came out, the Olympic Committee banned Russia for excessive doping. They paid a huge price for, you know, doping in the last Olympics. What kind of a penalty does Fox have, you know, placed on him for being such a dope week after week?
Point.
Are you saying they should ban him from the NFL, Hamp, for...
On doping. Just for being a dope.
Well,
hopefully the McCaskies will alleviate this problem here in 3 weeks.
Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Everybody's calling Fox. Takes two to dance, my friend. And I'll tell you what, this guy Pace, I'm going to tell you, would he be my general manager? Not a chance. To give Glennon $18.5 million this year, and if these numbers are correct that I have, Trubisky got a $19 million signing bonus, plus a $29 million contract guaranteed for 4 years. So if you take he's making this year is $26,250,000 if those numbers are correct, and I believe they're correct. So how the hell do you as a general manager, how do you as an owner let your general manager find Glennon, guarantee him, give him 43-point-some-odd million, guarantee him $18.5 million, then 3-4 months later, give up an entire draft Trubisky, give him a $19 million bonus, and then give him another, $7,250,000 for a total of $26,250,000 to two quarterbacks so far this year, can't play dead? Are you kidding me? That's a disgrace, folks.
It's great. Yeah, those are points that have to be brought up, and this is all on the desk of Ryan Pace.
It's real, Dan.
Yeah, but more, back to Fox and the inability of Dow Loggins to come up with a comprehensive professional game plan. Other than the first quarter against the Detroit Lions, we haven't seen one all year where it's been tailored to what you have as far as your assets and strengths and how to attack defenses. Every defense has got weaknesses. And, today on Fox, I do the three reminders. My three were find a plan. And that was about Dow Loggins. Find a plan. And I'm not talking, in the world of music. In the Chicago Six, we got a great guitar player, Johnny Guitar, John McFarland. And instead of coming up with a game plan that's a one-string banjo, ding-doink, ding-doink, you come up with bar chords where you can dominate and you do things the right way. Today, we had a bar chord souffle.
We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll get Adam Hogan here from Cincinnati. I just one thing on Pace, and OB, I agree with you, and I thought that Mike Glennon was maybe one of the more ridiculous things of all time. But he had a good day today, Ryan Pace. Mitchell Trubisky looked good. Jordan Howard had a big day. Tariq Cohen looked good.
Shaheen.
And Adam Shaheen looked good. So it was a good day for him.
I'm just talking about the monies. I know. Two quarterbacks that were guaranteed. Sometimes things are what they are, Mark.
I agree.
And Mark,
I agree with you 100%.
14 and 32. two since he's been here.
Absolutely.
So that's great. He had one good day.
Against,
so four, actually, he's had 14 good days.
Against the Bengals.
In 46 games right. as a GM.
I get it. Listen, there's no way you could say that this guy's the GM of the future. We'll see. 720 WGN.
Back to the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears! Sing it loud, sing it proud. I think we should play the fight song.
Although, let's go off on it. I got to finish this conversation.
Yeah, you guys wait on that one. 33-7 Bears over the Bengals.
My roommate in college was a freelance guy in college. Just so well, I just want to say, hey,
hold
folks, I want you to call
before you
in.
Go, if then you're sick.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. I want you to call in and give us your thoughts on what John Fox should have as his next career move. I'm thinking maybe IDOT. Something along that. No, sorry. 312-981-7200.
Look at Hamp going all.
I like
all
it though. IDOT, because hey, who is it mad at the people from IDOT?
312-981-7200.
I mean, if you're a gynecologist, don't call.
Hampo just throwing out topics out of nowhere. I like it. Bears win, baby. 33-7.
Yeah, they did.
I can see the joy flowing over OB right now.
Well, hey, it's good. They won a game, you know, right,
like,
Ed?
Like, absolutely. Well, like for the third time,
right.
When you play a lousy team like that they laid everything out last Monday, and you got to know something about football. See, they didn't even try. But I tell you what we did—that's what the hell you're supposed to do to a team like that. Bury him. And we did. And it was wonderful. It was a great win for the Bears.
Let's bring in Adam.
Took them a little more time, though, than I wanted them to. I mean, wouldn't you agree? It started awfully slow.
Yeah, it did.
And they picked it up in the third quarter.
Made it happen. They figured, hey, if we do this, you know what? This stuff actually works.
It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow.
Well, it was 12.
We could score touchdowns.
Yeah. It was 12-7 at the half, and then they pulled away. All right, Adam Hoge from Cincinnati with us now on 720 WGN. Adam, these gentlemen are concerned that John Fox might have saved his job today. We don't have to worry about that, do we?
I don't think so. I mean, if they look this amazing offensively for three more games, but I don't think that that's possible. I mean, I'm just looking at the stat sheet right now. 29 first down, 482 yards of offense, 6.7 yards per play. They held the ball for two-thirds of the game. Where has this been? And I think that's the counter to, okay, John Fox looked good today, but I look at it and I go, all right, well, where's this been all year, and why did it take so long to get to this point? Because they were clearly more aggressive offensively today, which is what everyone's been screaming for weeks.
It's amazing because that's exactly what we've been talking about.
Do you think, Adam, too, part of it was because it looked like Cincinnati had no interest in playing this game? I mean, you didn't see much of an effort, especially up front.
Yeah, that's something I talked about all week kind of coming into this one. This just had the setup for a letdown game for Cincinnati. They were up 17-0 against the Steelers last week. The way they played in the second half, ended their season. It's a short week for them. They lost, what was it, five starters on defense, I think, today that they didn't have, or five starters overall. Most of them were on defense. So this really just set up for a game that they were not going to play that well in. I didn't trust the Bears to pull out the victory, though, and certainly pull out an offensive performance like this. So I think that is a fair caveat to bring up. But at the same time, as much as the Bears dominated offensively today, you also got to give them credit. I don't know. Where was this aggression all season? I mean, to me, the thing that surprised me more than anything was once the Bears got the lead, earlier this season, we just saw John Fox shut it all down and just run the ball. And like the game against Carolina, you get the two defensive scores, and they didn't even try offensively the rest of the game. Here they were in the second half, Mitch was throwing 30-yard bombs downfield. Even though it ended up out of bounds, I couldn't even believe that play call was called. So it was really strange in a positive way.
Yeah, and that was some, Ed, you brought it up because you kept saying, okay, right now, throw the ball down the field. And finally in the third quarter, Adam, they threw the ball downfield, which, that's something should have been doing all year. You get a turnover, you chuck it downfield, try to score.
Yeah, it's still kind of concerning to me. A few weeks ago, all of our questions that Halas Holder in a week were about Tariq Cohen. Why is he not on the field? Why is he not on the field? And then that week he came out and he played 50% of the snaps, and his play went way up. Same thing with Adam Shaheen this week. Why is he not playing? Well, what's going on? Why can't he get on the field more? Well, they, you know, snaps were still limited today somewhat, but they got him involved in the offensive game plan. He delivers 4 catches on 5 targets. The only one he didn't catch was I actually couldn't tell if the defender got his hand in there or not, but it was a tough catch, 44 yards and a touchdown. So again, it's like why is it so hard to get these guys involved when it turns out today to look so easy? And I think that's a question that is still going to have to be answered over these next 3 weeks.
Dow Loggins obviously has been MIA all year, except for the first quarter against the Detroit Lions here in Soldier Field. Today, it was a game plan that utilized all the assets that we have on offense, and
yeah,
all the things we've been saying all year. The little bootlegs with the drags across, and where's it been?
I know, and Tariq Cohen had an interesting quote after the game that I sent in to you guys. Just the way he worded it, it wasn't, he just said that they found a role for everyone. And again, it just gets back to that question, well, why did it take this long? Because, Kendall Wright is a perfect example. He had 11 targets today, caught 10 passes. That's the first 100-yard receiver all season. It's amazing it took that long to get there. But, Kendall Wright has actually been playing well all season. He's just been limited by the coaching staff to the slot and only on the field when they have 3 wide receivers on the field. And when he gets his opportunity, and most of those have been on third down throughout the whole year, he's looked pretty good. But they took this long for them to utilize him to this extent within a game plan where I think they had, 76 plays compared to 37 last week. It gets back to what we're talking about. All the success today, it sort of just leaves them more questions that still make you scratch your head throughout this entire season.
Well, along those lines, their best wide receiver, as far as I could tell, going into the day, is Dontrell Inman. He wasn't even targeted today. So it's like they flip a coin. Well, you play today, and we're gonna get Josh Bellamy involved early, and all of a sudden, you know what? Hey, this Kendall Wright actually can play.
Yeah, and Inman was on the field for by far the most plays out of all the wide receivers. So I'd have to go back and watch the tape to see maybe they'll put more coverage on him or something like that. But it is interesting that he didn't come up with a target. I would actually say that Kendall Wright, I think, has been the best wide receiver all year. I just think he's another guy on a long list of players on this offense that they can't figure out how to use correctly.
Which is just kind of hard to believe. You would think that they'd be dying to find a playmaker, and for whatever reason, the ones that they have, they're not able to identify them. Thoughts on Mitchell Trubisky, Adam Hogue?
I thought he was great. I think it was a step forward in his development. It's been really hard to evaluate this guy because of the coaching and because of the lack of weapons. He certainly has not been perfect. He's made mistakes at times. Even today, there was a couple plays where he maybe tucked the ball a little too early, wasn't reading coverages correctly, but overall, I thought he was pretty good. You just see the raw talent, and you got to hope that they find the right coach for this kid, because I think in the right situation, you add a couple more targets in the offseason, you find the correct way to use Tariq Cohen, to use Adam Shaheen, who I still think can be a good tight end in this league with the right development, there are positive signs here. It's just they got to find the right coaching staff to put it all together, and we've seen that. There's a game going on right now as we're talking between 2 teams that figured it out last year, the Eagles and the Rams, with 2 young quarterbacks. Their coaching staffs have figured it out. The Bears have to do that this offseason.
Okay, that being said, the handful of candidates to replace Fox, if things work out in a positive way for Bear fans, and we do make a change, I've heard Josh McDaniels has basically agreed to the New York Giant offensive, the New York Giant job. Now, that only leaves a handful of guys. A guy, John DeFilippo, is the quarterback coach for the Eagles, and just a few others. Have you got an insight on any of the other possible candidates?
Yeah, I will say, Hans, that I think what you're trying to get at is not necessarily an eye-popping no-brainer out there right now. I do like Don DeFilippo, but you're talking about making a quarterback coach, a head coach. That's a big jump. You know, Pat Shurmur is a guy in Minnesota right now that has a little bit of head coaching experience. It wasn't great, but then again, it was with the Browns, and we can't seem to find any head coach to have any success in Cleveland. So how much of that is actually his fault? He's done a great job with Case Keenum this year that I think you have to take a look at, and he's a guy with a little bit more experience, a little bit older than some of these younger guys. So, you know, those are a couple options that I think you're going to look at. But, yeah, the thing with Josh McDaniels, too, is I got to imagine that he wants full control of the roster. And I don't think that that's something that they're going to take away from Ryan Pace here. And so, right or wrong, that's going to limit your candidates, too.
Adam,
so yeah.
What has to happen here? All right, we've got to deal in reality here. We are what we are. And what has to be done here, and I am a firm believer, Fox is gone, every one of our coaches are gone, and you take Pace out the door with you. You've got to revamp everything here. This has been going on from one coach after another coach, one year after another, one decade after another. Somebody's got to get smart up there, okay? We have scouts that obviously don't know what the hell a receiver looks like. We have them. We have the scouts. They can't find – we need somebody that can recognize talent, a college scout, a pro scout, let alone a general manager that understands the game of football, let alone a head coach that understands the game of football today, excuse me, and how you operate offensively. It's not a mystery, and there are people out there that can do this. My whole point, Adam, is everybody has to go. You got to wipe this thing out total and clean. It's enough already. All the years, the suffering Bear fans year after year, high expectations. Why we have high expectations, I have no idea. But it's got to be done. You've got to get everybody out of here and take those damn scouts with you. That's my point.
Yeah, well, and the thing is if you're doing that, then don't you have to go even higher? Because who's going to
Yes, you do.
Who's going to be the guy who hires the next GM? Because, I mean, that's my – if you're going to go that far, then I think you have to go really the whole way because they – what, are they going to hire Ernie Accorsi again to hire his buddies once again? I mean, it didn't work this time, and I don't know why you would trust the people in place to hire a new GM. So what's probably more likely is it's just going to be Fox and its coaching staff. I think Pace will probably keep his job. Whether that's right or wrong, I think that's what's going to happen. And I think a game like today helps his case. Last week was a terrible game for Ryan Pace. To look at how the kicking situation played out, Jimmy Garoppolo without playing Mitch Trubisky.
I think we just lost Adam. All right, good stuff. Adam Hogue, you can read him at WGNradio.com. Adam Hogue's Bears blog, all the coverage. Nobody does it better, and he has 10
Ed's Bears. Right, though. Ed is spot on in what he's saying. But
well, you got to
And Dan, you know, Dan says it, and I think most people realize it. It's not going to happen, but Ed's correct.
Out with Ted Phillips, in with John McDonough, see what it looks like. Done? Everybody good? Anybody?
I'd take Jay Blunk right now.
Okay.
How
out with
you?
Ted Phillips, in with Jay Blunk. Anybody got a problem with that? Hampo?
No. Okay. No, obviously the trajectory that the team is on has to be turned around, and you can't just – change one wheel on the car and think, okay, well, now we're going to be ready for the racetrack. No, you got to make major wholesale changes.
That's my point. Everybody's got to go. You got to start. It's enough already.
And I think to Adam's point, I think what we'll see is there'll be coaching changes after the year. But I wouldn't.
We got you. But Ed is 100% correct, I wish somebody up there would listen to what he's saying. Because he's right.
312-981-7200 with you till 5:30. Blackhawks in Arizona coming up then. 720 WGN. People texting in about who should run the Bears. 847 texting in. John McDonough just sells jerseys, not a personnel guy. Have you seen the three cups that he won with the Chicago Blackhawks? Blackhawk hockey coming up at 5:30. He does a pretty
He's a president, is what he is.
Yeah.
And he gets the best people around him. That's why they won three cups.
Exactly.
Scott McDonough's done a fabulous job.
No
when
question.
When Rocky Wirtz hired him and brought him over there from the Cubs, He done a super job. No reason why he can't do it with the Bears. He understands the business world and how to win, how to succeed.
312 texting in, Jeff Fisher, sir, have you lost your mind? Jeff Fisher.
Just say, you know, say the 9-3 Rams. That's all you got to say.
Yeah.
There's a reason they're 9-3, and it's because Jeff Fisher isn't there anymore.
Scott from Lyles asking about John Gruden. I enjoy John Gruden. I don't know about running a whole organization, but I enjoy Gruden. I don't know how you guys feel about him.
Well, they could at least get free wings at Hooters, right?
John Gruden is not going to leave that job that he has. Are you kidding me?
He does the Gruden camp and everything else.
I didn't say head coach.
I'm just saying he's got the sweetest job. They love him. I assume he's got to be making around a couple of million, I would think. Right, Dan? Glenn, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Somewhere's
around
there. Yeah.
Or maybe more. And he works 16 weeks out of the year, so to speak. And he wants to leave that to become a head coach?
Obie, not a head coach. Run the entire organization. Be the president.
Why would you want that headache when you only have to work 16 weeks, is what Ed's saying.
I'll give
and,
you,
and you've got all kinds of great perks that go along with that.
He gets to hire his own people, and he gets about $10 million, something like that.
I bet you he's pretty close to that with everything he's doing.
Well, I'm sure he doesn't need the money, but you know, egos are in play, too. All right, we got a half hour to go. 312-981-7200, 720 WGN.
This is the Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Bears roll over the Bengals 33-7. I'm Mark Carmen. It's Hamp and OB with Kaz, presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com, with you till 5:30. Blackhawks hockey coming up at the bottom of the hour. We're going to get to the drive of the game and your calls in a second here. 312-981-7200. But I want to ask you guys a question. As far as winning today and the last three games, they're at Detroit, home with Cleveland, at Minnesota. As far as creating a culture for next year and getting wins at the end of the season, is that more important to you, or does that not matter at all? You'd rather have the higher draft pick?
Hold it. No. You got, if you're gonna have your team do that, then you're not the right coach. You're not the right owner. You go out to play. There's only 16 games. You better go out there and play your heart, everything that you have, the knowledge and everything, to win every damn game you play. And if you don't, and if you have a mindset like you're talking about, we'll get a higher draft. So everybody, you're telling all your players, it's not gonna count. Go out there. You could die on that field, though, but go out there and lay down like dogs, and the hell with our fans and everybody. Uh-uh. Never.
We saw that today by the Cincinnati Bengals. It's not pretty. And there's only one way to play the game. It's to win. And if you develop the quarterback in the process, that's great. But again, you know, the underbelly of this is, you know, cheap wins, does it keep Fox around? That's the quandary everyone is worried about.
Kaz, can winning at the end of the year carry over to next season?
It depends on who your head coach is, right? I mean, yeah, it can if you do what Ed said and make a complete change. But even a change at head coach is going to improve next year's opportunities.
Hey, we're watching a game with two teams in the corner of our eye right now. We're looking at the Rams, who were miserable last year. They bring a young, offensive-minded head coach. They're dynamic. They're 9-3, and you know, one of the great teams in the NFL today. That's the Los Angeles Rams. And the other one is the Philadelphia Eagles, who came in last year with a young, offensive-minded head coach and a great young quarterback, and now we're seeing what the fusion of those two components can do.
Let's bring in Vic here on the north side, 312-981-7200. Vic, go ahead.
Hey, I got a question, guys. Do we keep Fanzio and promote him to head coach? And this way we don't lose him, because he's probably going to be a head coach somewhere else, and just get a very good offensive coordinator.
For this year,
what do you think of that idea?
For this year or for next year there, Vic?
For the future, for the future.
He's okay. Talking about next year.
Okay. Here's the shakedown. Vic Fangio has had a certain level of success here. And, yes, there's been rough spots, but there was an undercurrent of maybe getting rid of Fox and having him become the interim head. And I think he basically said behind the scenes, I'm not interested. He wants to go someplace else because there's some personnel that he does not feel compatible with. And you're only setting yourself up to fail if you don't believe in this team, this franchise, and this team's direction. So as good as Vic Fangio could have, should have been as an interim coach, starting maybe back at the Green Bay game after that debacle, you know, that train left the station. So, you know, those things are all pretty much already decided.
OB, Fangio?
As Fangio as a head coach?
Yeah.
I don't think he would take it if it was offered to him. Mm. And matter of fact, the more I'm thinking about this, the situation from week to week and dealing with these players, I'm thinking he might want to get the hell out of here and start fresh somewhere else where he knows. Because there's too much from upstairs that brings stuff downstairs with the Chicago Bears. Okay? I mean, it's right in front of everybody. There's not enough smarts up there to get things done around here. And Fangio, I mean, Dan likes him. I mean, I think he's okay. But I just, you know, it's a couple of games ago when we have defensive backs and we had four linebackers. When a call was made, they didn't know what the hell, how to play the defense in goal line. I mean, you know, come on. So, but I personally think it's not Fangio, Vic. I hope they just wipe everybody out of here and start anew. And listen, if that means selling the team, and if you can't figure it out, sell the team. Worth what? $2-3 billion?
Yeah, we know they're not doing that, right? We'd love to see it. Well, there'd be a party the size of Montana in this city if they did it. Hey, what's the drive of the game, guys? Sponsored by the Patrick Dealer Group. Hampa, what do you got for the drive of the game?
It has to be the first one. It's the first time we've scored on the opening possession all season long. We got the ball with 11 minutes to go in the first quarter. It was a four-play beauty, capped by Jordan Howard running for 21 yards through the Cincinnati Bengals, looking like they were standing around in a 9-on-7 drill. It was pretty good.
OB, were you celebrating that moment right down the field?
I thought it was great that they did it because I saw, aha, there was a bootleg, and it was actually a naked bootleg, and I saw him shift the pocket, just move the pocket. That's all you got to do, and that creates a lot of confusion for the defense. Believe me, it does.
It's a we got one more segment to go here, 312-981-7200 if you want to jump in, 33-7, Bears beat the Bengals, and it's a battle. One of the NBA's best. Boston's in town as the Bulls look to shock the Celtics. That's Monday night tomorrow at 7 on WGN TV Sports. The Bulls won two games this weekend. The Bears won a football game.
Hawks are going to win tonight. And by the way, another job for John Fox after he's alleviated of his duties. Maybe since OB can't go back to Palatine, he can run for mayor of Palatine.
There you go.
There you go.
As we do our last segment, that's what's out there. 312-981-7200. What should John Fox do? What could he do after the season's over? And perhaps he doesn't want to just
what
go over
to... What would he be competent at?
Yeah. What he should do is buy a boat, go to the South Seas. He's got enough money.
Yeah, but maybe...
Don't worry about him. He's got a lot of money.
It's not about the money, though. He needs something to do.
About the money?
He wants to be active.
On what planet are you from? Everything's about the money.
Sure, but I think he still wants to be active. All right, quick timeout. We'll get to you. 312-981-7200.
Touchdown, Bears!
Chicago Bears conversation is here. The Chevy Hamp and OB Show with Kaz. Sponsored by your local Chevy dealers and ChevyDriveChicago.com on 720 WGN.
Hampo, you wanted to get something out there before we head on out of here. So, in 312-981-7200 for...
Let's take the caller.
We're still waiting on the calls to come through. So.
Well, let me tell you. See, when I was a little boy, I grew up on a farm in Arkansas. And my mom was an amazing lady. And like one of the hobbies she had was taxidermy. And she started small with like little things like a duck and things like that. And then she got where she was able to do bigger animals. One time the train hit a panther over in Cabot, and she stuffed the panther. And then one of the neighbors brought her a fox. And I remember when we were preparing the fox, and, you know, you got to take all the insides out, right, and prepare it for, you know, stuffing it. And I remember the neighbor talking about the fox has such a little brain, such a small frontal cortex. And I've always remembered that. And every time I see him on the sidelines fighting with his headset switch, I remember about my mom and the fox's small frontal cortex. So, you know, 50 years later, it's funny what you remember when you see certain things.
It's just a reminder of
the small frontal cortex.
Well, and he today.
Did you learn anything, OB?
Danny, that is cruel.
Hey, wait a minute. It's true stuff. This thing, like it was a dog walking, right? And we used to put a fishing line on it and pull it across the street in front of cars at night for entertainment. And they'd stop and think, what was that? What was that that went across the street? We'd be in the ditch with the stuffed fox laughing.
Oh, so you're the reason why we got Fox over here, right?
Visions of a young Hamp in a ditch with string.
Pulling a cord with a small frontal cortex
that the fox had.
Did you notice today he was trying to talk to Trubisky at one point, and they were talking to him in his ear, and he was trying to turn it off, and he's trying to talk. He was so...
Think of the small frontal cortex every time you see that. It's a mental picture that will never leave you.
Even when you see him do interviews, if you can't hear him talking, his facial expressions, the way he throws his hands around you, can't help but laugh.
Every answer.
It's comical.
The first three words are always, well, I think. If you notice that, well, I think. We understand these are your thoughts. We're asking you the question. You don't need to say that. Just jump right in there. We're looking for jobs for John when the season is over.
Yeah.
Johnny and Cicero, what should John Fox do at the end of the year?
Oh, hello, hello. Thank you for taking my call. He should get on the slow boat, go west on the I&M Canal, and keep going. I don't want him in Lake Michigan on the boat because that's our water supply. Contamination.
Okay.
Sounds like
that.
Johnny
Hampton, thank you. You and the boys won me $2,000 in the case of Bear at 85. OB, love you. Love you guys.
You related to Mongo McMichael? Did that not sound like Mongo?
No.
No? Okay. All right. I thought it sounded like 76.
Mongo is at his restaurant right now having a big celebration on the latest win by
the victory.
How they 8-5 it was, Mongo.
Let's get Jack in Arizona. What's up, Jack? Welcome to WGN. Hey. Yep.
How you doing?
Good.
I'm doing great. What John Fox should do, he should go down to Canada and join up with Mark Trestman as his assistant. But seriously, what they should really do, we need a general manager like Jim Finks. And he would fix everything up. We need somebody like that. And also for a coach, I think we should get a coach, somebody like Bill Cowher or even Dan Hampton or Jeff Fisher, somebody like that, some kind of a Bear connection.
Thank you, Jack. Appreciate you. Hamp, are you taking the job?
No. But, you know, I'm sure, you know, Jeff Fisher has possibly some interest, but you have to remember, you know, things didn't go well for him the last 10 years. I mean, the Rams didn't make the playoffs forever. And the Tennessee Titans to the Rams. And I mean, it's just, again,
they're 9-3 this year. That's all you got to say on that.
The template is out there. A young, dynamic, offensive minded assistant that understands how to formulate and operate an offense. OB says it every week. He beats the table. The game is set up for you to throw the ball. The rules say throw the ball. So we need to think about that. Yeah, it's great to run. And, you know, throw to score, run to win, all that. But you got to have somebody that understands how to manipulate defenses with your offensive attack.
Again, I said it many, many times, years and years. You are the way it's set up. You run the football. You are not going to win a Super Bowl. If that's your main goal, to run the football in the National Football League, then first of all, you shouldn't be in here as a coach because you don't understand the game. You got to throw the damn football. That's what this league and that's what the rules give you, and you got to get somebody that understands it.
A lot of people are texting in as far as running the Bears, Gary Fencik. And you guys obviously know 45 fairly well. Smart guy, Yale, all that. What do you think about that name?
Well, but you've got to have somebody that is willing to engage, and it means long hours, 18-hour days until you get this thing on track. And, you know, there's certain people that want to do it. Gary's got a great life, a great lifestyle doing what he's doing. But he's smart.
Yeah, he's a smart guy. Matt Sui's another one that would, to me, would be brilliant at it, but he'd have to give up the other things he's doing to do it.
People are texting in Peyton Manning.
Did I ever tell you about Matt Sui came to training camp up in Platteville? I think it was 89. And I said, hey, what have you been doing? You know, he asked me. I said, oh, I've been fishing and playing golf. And I said, what are you doing? And he goes, oh, me and Joe, meaning Paterno, we started a water company. I said, what do you mean, like a municipality, you know, water party? He goes, no, bottled water. And I said, you idiot. Nobody's going to buy water in a bottle. And then he sold it last year for $20 million. Oh.
Eddie had come up with the sports cap to boot on top of that water bottle. That was the group that came up with the sports cap.
That's amazing. Go Matsui. Hey, trust is everything. It's golden for your insurance needs. It's nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. Vuk is on your side, serving our area for 39 years. Nationwide on your side, jeffvuk.com. All right, so we move on to next Saturday night, the Detroit Lions. It's a 3:30 game, so we will be on the air at 6:30 until 9 o'clock next Saturday. So no Sunday show, obviously, with the Bears playing at Detroit on a Saturday afternoon.
And nobody had Matt Stafford, you know, manning up and going at it today, and he played brilliantly and beat Tampa. They are still involved in it, and they want to get after whoever comes in, and next Saturday the Bears come in. So that will be a test. It won't be like today where the Bengals were looking for a place to lay down. This will be a game where, you know, we better show up and be ready to play or they could embarrass us.
You know what I'd like to see after what happened today? Forget about all the whatever in this. I like what I saw today, and I'd like to see them carry it on this week and go up into Detroit and take Detroit down. They're a fairly decent ball club. Okay, they're what are they, 7-6, 7-5 now?
7-6.
7-6.
7-6. They're playing at home. Would I love to see us, like people have done us, come into our living room and knock us out? I'd love to see the Bears carry through what they did today, take it all week, and go up in Detroit and bring home another victory. That's what I want to see for the Chicago Bear fans.
Big boy pants is what we want to see. Big boy pants put on.
Exactly right. Hopefully we'll be talking about that next Saturday night, 6:30 until 9 after the Bears and the Lions. Guys, Bears get a win. Great to be with you, and we'll see you. Have a great week. We'll see you for the old December 16th show.
And then before we go, real quickly, I have a couple of Doug Buffone books, and they're really great. They're great, great books, and we're going to give two of them away next week.
All right. Doug Buffone books next week. Another reason to tune in. We got Blackhawks hockey coming right up.
OB with the Santa stocking stuffers. That a boy, OB.
There you go. 720 WG.
It's a good read.